Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my broadcast. Today is Monday, April 26, 2021, and wow, spring is actually finally in the air. It's actually kind of summer-like. All this week in the high 70s to 80s, after that cold chill last week in the snow, I remember taking this picture and posting on Facebook, look at the size of these snowflakes. That was last Wednesday. Well, thank the Lord, it looks like we can put this weather finally behind us, and it's time for some barbecue. It's time for some sitting out on the deck and walking the dog and jogging. It's time to live all over again. Well, this day is a very important day on the cross in the desert. I want to speak to you about the constant war on women in Iran. It's really Iran's war on women. Now, if you followed me, you know all about what happens to women under the oppressive Islamic Republic of Iran. I write about it, I blog about it, I podcast about it. But the biggest insult in the world was placed on this country's women just a few days ago. The United Nations Economic and Social Council, well, I could rename them the United Nothing, elected Iran to serve a four-year term on the Commission on the Status of Women. And that is despite Iran's notorious record of women's oppression. You can't wrap your mind around this, right? In fact, UN Watch Executive Director Hillel Nour said it best. He said, quote, "Electing Ayatollah Khamenei's Islamic Republic of Iran to protect women's rights is, quote, like making an arsonist into the town fire chief." That says it all. And you know, this claim by the UN is that this committee is instrumental in promoting women's rights. It documents the reality of women's lives throughout the world. It shapes global standards on gender equality and the empowerment of women. It's the very committee, though, that just put Iran on the Commission for Women's Rights. And just a year ago, the UN Secretary General released a 2020 report detailing Iran's human rights abuses, including, by the way, its discrimination against women and girls. The report talked about law and practice discrimination, family matters, freedom of movement, employment, culture, sports, access to political and judicial functions. There was a 43 vote count. In this secret ballot, 43 votes went to Iran. at least four democratic countries voted for Iran, although the countries, of course, want to remain unidentified. And I just shudder to think why a democratic nation would give the responsibility of Iran for women's rights in the UN. In their legal system, the worth of a woman in Iran is only half that of a man. If a woman appears as a witness in court, her testimony is only worth half of a man's. So, again, wrap your mind around the latest facade of the UN placing the Islamic Republic of Iran on commission for gender equality and women's empowerment. Okay. You know, when I read something like this and I hear about something like this, I ask myself, are they getting the message? The UN is supposed to be the bastion of human rights, a human rights watchdog for the entire world. And yet they're putting Iran on the committee for women's rights. I can't get my mind around it. Where are we failing to get the message out there about the oppression of women? Of course, now here in the United States, you constantly hear the uproar of feminists crying out for their human rights for women here. And I want to just shake. I just want to just, you know, beat my head up against the wall when I hear that. Feminists never raise their voice one iota for women in the Middle East. They have it so good here compared to the Middle East. So again, I guess my duty today is to inform and to educate what for the last 41 years Iran has done to women. Let's start with some of the basic facts. Women in Iran suffer under a system of discrimination and inequality. It's in their constitution and in their penal code. And based on this system, the life of a woman literally is regarded as half as valuable as that of a man. I'm going to prove that. She is entitled to 50% of what her male counterpart should be awarded. So regardless of her accomplishments and intelligence, her testimony in court is legally viewed with less credibility as she is only worth half of a man. That's in the Quran. Here we are in the middle of Ramadan, where faithful Muslims are praying, reading the Quran, etc. They are worshiping a book that discriminates against women. They will be the first to tell you, no, that's not true. Muhammad was the greatest woman's rights. No, he wasn't. That's because the message of that is not getting out enough. But let's go on here. Let's talk about in the legal system, in the penal code, in the Constitution, about Iranian women. So first, in domestic cases, men are regarded as head of the household. They have legal authority over their wives. A woman, according to Iranian law, is required to satisfy all of a man's sexual needs. And if she refuses to do so, she could lose all of her so-called maintenance payments. That's including shelter, food, clothes. Now, divorce, of course, is easily granted to a husband with just a simple request, right? He can have up to four wives, by the way, you know. And a woman, according to Iranian law, can only be married to one man, and it has to be a Muslim. The man can marry anyone he wants to. So divorce is easily granted to the husband. One simple request. But now a woman, in contrast, must fight strenuous legal battles before they can be released from a marriage. Child custody is immediately granted to a man. Brothers are entitled to twice as much inheritance as their sisters, male widowers twice as much as female widows. Now, that's just in the domestic cases. Let's look at the workplace. Second-class treatment for women. Women are banned from entry in certain fields of study. They are excluded from many public places. They're barred from singing and dancing. I know this. If you have a an Instagram account and you see an Iranian woman dancing, you're obligated to report her to the government. I've seen many women on Instagram whose accounts have been banned and they've been hauled into prison because they're dancing. Now, you know about the athletic stadium, so maybe you don't. I'll tell you, a woman cannot go to a men's soccer game in Iran. I wrote in my book, Shout Freedom, the story of an Iranian woman, Sahar Kodafari, who was caught dressed up like a man because she wanted to attend a soccer game. She found out that she was going to be ending up spending about 6 months in prison, so she said, I'm out of here. I'm tired of this. Committed suicide. She lit herself on fire. That's the level of oppression in Iran. They can't sing and dance publicly. And they are treated as second-class citizens. Now, as I spoke about domestic cases, violence and harassment, girls and women in Iran who are suspected of dishonoring their family can be physically punished or killed by a male family member. Often it happens in their own homes. I reported a few months ago the tragic story of 14-year-old Romina Ashrafi. She was beheaded by her father while she slept because he believed that she had a boyfriend. Just a week ago, a woman in Mashhad was burned to death in her house by her husband. And so the social stigma goes on and on and on. And that's why this is called Iran's War on Women. They continue to discriminate systematically against women. They treat them like second-class citizens. The city of Tehran itself enables violence against women and sexual exploitation of girls. They are forced to wear a hijab when they go out publicly. They're harassed and put in jail and fined if they disobey the Islamic dress code. They can be flogged because they appeared in public without covering their hair and bodies. You see the judicial system. And they're denied access to political opportunities. When's the last time you've seen a woman become the supreme leader of Iran? Well, you'll never see that. Men are favored over women in family and inheritance law. Did you know, you probably don't know, but you should know, that domestic violence in Iran is not a crime. Under Iranian law, criminal penalties for murder as a result of domestic violence or honor killing are much lighter than the penalties for other acts of murder. For example, men convicted of murdering their daughters are imprisoned for only 3, maybe 10 years, instead of receiving the standard sentence of capital punishment. And so the way this is treated, violence against women, domestic violence is generally viewed as a private family member. And so there has been much outcry and outrage from some Iranians in the government sector, and they enacted legislation about 9 years ago or more that would criminalize gender-based violence. And the bill sat in parliament for about 5 years, and the Rouhani administration supposedly approved it in May of 2017. It sent it to the judiciary for review, but Iran's chief justice then sat on the bill for more than 2 years. And so what is the problem here? Well, the problem is the language. It does not clearly define the term violence. It does not use the term domestic violence. It does not remove legal and enforcement obstacles to protect women from and prosecute their abusers. And it only requires abusive husbands to provide financial support for their wives for 3 months after they separate, thereby encouraging battered women to return to their abusive spouses. It requires women who seek justice in the courts after being battered are sexually abused by their husbands or fathers to go through a one-month required period of reconciliation with abusers, during which time the case is referred to a dispute resolution body. And really, this bill prevents an abused woman from getting a divorce on the grounds of abuse until her husband is convicted 3 times of engaging in violence against her. And of course, here's the catch-all. What if she's raped? What if there is a rape victim in Iran? Accused rapists can only be convicted upon the testimony of multiple witnesses, 4 Muslim men or greater, which basically means that marital rape becomes legal. Women in Iran are sexually exploited. Under Iranian law, girls may be legally married at 13 years of age compared to boys at 15. There are over 40,000 registered marriages of children in Iran, including over 300 girls under the age of 14. This is disgusting, and yet the United Nations, understanding this problem, elects Iran to a committee on women's rights. So we have sexual exploitation of girls, forced covering, disproportionate judicial punishment. Women lawyers like Nazreen Satuda in prison for multiple years upon years simply because she stood up for women to remove their veils in Iran and not have to be forced to wear them. Because she dared to stand up for women's rights, she's in prison. And it goes on and on, and I could go on and on, but it's so sad. I remember a few years ago, one of my Iranian friends told me a story that still just breaks my heart. It was during the Nowruz celebration. And she's shopping for new clothes. And here I am. I'm at the bank. I'm on a bank run when I was working for Family Christian Bookstore. I got this text message from Atifi. And she says, "You will not believe the insanity of what I'm just seeing." Well, she had went to the local clothing store. And she's browsing around shopping for clothes for Nowruz. And she noticed Iranian security officers confronting the store owner. Later on, she discovered that the security officers had found the store owner was in violation of the Islamic dress code. Well, she was wearing a hijab. What was the problem? That wasn't the problem. She was going to be arrested because the store owner had failed to put hijabs on all of the mannequins, the store mannequins, and she had to do it right now or be arrested. Now, wait a minute. Help me out here. Isn't there a difference between human beings and mannequins, right? What is a mannequin? Well, a mannequin is a lifeless form of plastic representing a human being, and it stands up in the fashion store window to display the latest fashions. Oh, okay. I get it now. The Islamic regime would prefer that all Iranians behave just like mannequins. Mannequins, well, they don't speak or talk back or protest. They don't whine or complain. They're lifeless forms of plastic. They do whatever you tell them to do. They wear whatever you put on them without a complaint, and they stand in the window all day, look at me with my hijab. Can you now understand why the Islamic law requires women to wear hijabs, and they want them to behave just like mannequins in the store window? Well, would you have a false religion doing this to people, reducing human beings to lifeless forms of plastic without hearts and souls? They quickly lose all self-worth, and that's exactly what false religion does. It robs people of all meaning and purpose in life and reduces them to little more than puppets on a string. Well, let me tell you what, wake up. God didn't create us as lifeless forms or puppets on a string. He created Iranian women. He created human beings with great value and worth and gave them a heart to discover the beauty of life that surrounds them. He breathed into them souls, love, purpose, creativity to shine like the brilliant colors of the rainbow. But how can your lives shine brightly when you're reduced to the morbid and depressing existence of mannequins in a store window? Well, let me say the good news for Iranian women today, for those that are broken under this oppressive society, God offers you true hope and healing. The Bible says that he hears the cry of the oppressed and he rescues them. I have spent the last 11 years of my life writing the story of my dear Iranian friends and being their voice. And one day soon, I believe they will be able to walk down the streets of Tehran without fear of being arrested. You know why I know that? Because I know that the Bible teaches that God is a God of justice. I want to share with you, in conclusion, one psalm. I pray for my Iranian friends every day. Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence because their lives are precious to him. And that's a powerful promise from God's word. You know why? God understands our pain. It's because he became a human being in Jesus and suffered excruciating pain in order to save us from our sins when he died on the cross. Jesus was spit upon, mocked, insulted, betrayed. He understands evil and betrayal because he experienced every one of them. So he understands what women are going through. The greatest example of human rights to women is Jesus. All you need to do is read the Gospels and see how he treated women with great love and respect. Why are the women in the Middle East leaving Islam every day? Because they have found a God who understands their suffering and pain. Jesus is that God. He is not a distant, faraway deity disconnected from our pain, but a God who is both our refuge, our strength, and our ever-present help in time of need. What a shame the UN has given Iran this Committee on Women's Rights. I just pray right now that Jesus will reveal himself to Iranian women and give them hope and freedom and peace. We need that peace that passes all understanding. I want us to hear a song right now from Wayne Watson.
Your hiding place.
Beautiful, extraordinary worship music of Wayne Watson, a song of great hope, the peace that passes understanding. When I read about the oppression of women in Iran, I'm exhausted. And I think about living here and the complaint of feminists who yell and scream about their reproductive rights and whatever rights they think they're missing out here in the United States. I want to shake them. And just try to get their attention, if you will, and say, look, yeah, there are problems. There are things with human trafficking that are wrong. There are some inequalities on the job that you need to address, and I'm for that. I want to help you get your rights. But in comparison to those in the Middle East, there's no comparison. And so it's exhausting. When I read what a system, what a false religious political system is doing to women. So please join me. Share this program on your page. Let's be a voice for the voiceless women in Iran and share their pain and their sorrow to stand up and be a voice for them and pray for them. That's all I'm asking you to do this morning. Let's be a voice for them. Let's educate people. Let's stand up and be one with them in solidarity in the oppression they are going through. That's all I ask of you. I want to say thank you so much for taking time once again out of your busy life to join me. God bless you. I will see you again on Thursday on the Cross in the Desert. Have a great week.